Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On Franchise Euphoria today, we've got Wade Brannon. Wade is the president and CEO of Pigtails and Crew Cuts franchise. Wade started his career in the operations department at Heavenly Ham with no experience and no manual. Knowing his role was to grow the company, Wade immediately implemented processes that built the brand into a system of over 200 units. Looking for his next venture, Wade came across a single children's hair salon and bought it out to create a replicable business for franchising back in 2004. Since then, Pigtails and Crew Cuts has grown to over 50 locations across the nation. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy this interview with Wade Brannon. Hello, Wade. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How you doing?
Thank you, Josh. I'm great. Appreciate you having me.
Well, thrilled to have you on. You've got a great background in franchising. Of course, this podcast is all about franchising. So I always like to kick it off with my guests and give you an opportunity to tell a little bit about your past and your past experiences, and then we'll bring it up to date afterwards.
So, Josh, I've been in the franchise business for over 30 years, basically all of my adult life. When I got out of college, I moved to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and went to work in the first store of a company called Heavenly Ham. The owners of that had the intention of building it into a franchise brand, and I basically went to work as an hourly employee and then hooked up with a couple of other guys, and we ended up buying the company with the expectation that we would build it into a franchise company ourselves. We moved from Hilton Head to Atlanta just because Hilton Head was, you know, from a travel perspective, a little bit challenging, and we wanted to get up into where things were going on. So we moved up to Atlanta and built Heavenly Ham, wearing a lot of different hats, each one of us, into about a 250-unit brand, and then sold it to the bigger player in the market, which was Honey Baked Ham. And we did that for about 20 years. And after that, I was looking for the next great thing and stumbled upon Pigtails and Crew Cuts. And with the lady asked me to help her, she had started it and asked me to help her start a franchise path. And I had a few meetings with her and ended up that wasn't really what she figured out she wanted to do. And so I ended up buying the federally registered marks and put together a plan to start franchising it. I felt there was a need for a children's haircut brand that could fill in the United States. People were taking their children to various sundry places that didn't specialize in haircuts for children. And so I felt like with my franchising background, and, you know, just simply as being a parent of three children, 18 months apart, with a set of twins thrown in there, I might add that,
oh, wow.
You know, I had something that the industry needed. So we spent about a year putting the systems in place. And then in 2005, started franchising Pigtails and Crew Cuts, which is, as you would expect by the name, a children's haircut franchise, but we also have related retail products, and we offer birthday parties, not with haircutting, but just as a fun add-on and as an additional revenue source and a way to drive more people through the door.
So did Pigtails and Crew Cuts start in Atlanta?
It did.
Okay.
Lady started it here, and when I started talking to her, there was one salon here in Atlanta, and we've been growing ever since.
So it's interesting because obviously with your background with Heavenly Ham and then now with Pigtails and Crew Cuts, sounds like you were instrumental, or at least an important part of helping in both businesses with the operations, you know, because operations are necessary in terms of the operational systems, the processes, and so forth to turn it into a franchise. I mean, is that fair to say that you were instrumental with both systems?
I think it's imperative that you have that. You've got to have the internal operations at the unit level, but then at the franchisor level, you've got to have operations to support those franchisees. So, yeah, I mean, it was when we started at Heavenly Ham in 84, there really was an idea. There was a product and an idea, but you didn't have the systems to transfer that to a franchisee and make it simple and make it effective and make it so that they could have success by following the systems. So that's exactly right. So we created the operational profile there and at Pigtails and Crew Cuts for franchisees to follow to give them the best chance at success running the operation. There are a lot of pieces that go into it, but certainly operational profile is vitally important.
Well, I'd love if you're comfortable to talk about it. You know, it can be either through the Heavenly Ham or through your current model, the Pigtails and Crew Cuts, the operational, the process piece of it. And specifically, you know, a lot of people listening are themselves new franchisors or contemplating becoming a franchisor. And we all know, I mean, I've been involved in this industry for over 12 years now, actually a little bit longer, over 14 years. And we all know that the difference between the good brands and the brands that are great and the brands that are not so good, a lot of times comes down to the operational systems, the processes. How were you able, I mean, where did you even start, I should say, you know, at a Heavenly Ham and then at a Pigtails and Crew Cuts to even begin to put those processes? I mean, what were some of the first things that you identified to say, hey, if we're going to take this from what we have right now into a franchise system, these are the first five things we need to do?
Well, maybe we should focus on Pigtails and Crew Cuts because they are slightly different models.
Sure.
Heavenly Ham being a product-driven operation where you've got food safety issues, you've got production issues, you've got seasonality issues with the holidays and the resulting business that went around them. And then you go to Pigtails and Crew Cuts, which is more of a service-based business. So, you know, let's focus on that first. So to start with, you know, you've got to have an operations manual. And to start with, you've got to have a franchise disclosure document, an FDD. And that FDD outlines what you as the franchisor are going to do and provide to the franchisee. And that would include items like operations manual, training, ongoing support. And I think it's important in that disclosure document, when you're talking to a franchise prospect, to have very clearly laid out what their expectations should be and what yours should be. And so I think one of the first things is define the needs of a franchisee, what they need from their franchisor. And that then becomes your business model. That becomes your job as the franchisor. And so you then put that in the FDD, but then you have to go and create all of the other support materials. And that includes operations manuals, marketing manuals, all the other components that they should be following. And then if you're a new franchisor and starting to sell franchises, then your ongoing support is what gives you validation with prospective franchisees. It helps your franchisees become successful. And so there has to be a system and a methodology for following up and making sure that your systems, your operational programs are being adhered to and followed. And the more you can do on the front end and think through what all of those are, the better off you'll be. Now, that said, 15 years ago when we started Pigtails and Crew Cuts, what we do now and what we do operationally day in and day out with our franchisees is completely different from what we did 15 years ago. Technology has changed. The way we deliver things to our franchisees has changed. The methodology for inspections and support has changed. But the idea of how you need to support remains the same. And then the actual, or how much, and then the actual delivery of that is what is ongoing and ever changing.
Well, and I got to think too that, you know, back in 2004, there probably weren't very many, if any, other models for you to kind of look at that focused on kids' haircuts. I know there have been some along the way, some have come and gone. But were there any other models like it back in 2004?
Yeah, there have been a couple. And as you say, some have come and gone, some have repurposed themselves, some have rebranded. But I kind of felt like instead of modeling ourselves after what somebody else was doing, I really felt like we were good enough and we had enough experience. And this by we, I'm saying my support group and me. I felt like, you know, the overriding thing when you're trying to make plans is to, your job is to make your franchisees successful. And if that's the case, and if that's your program, then everything else kind of falls in place. You know, you'll eventually make your money. You will eventually have success. You will eventually build a good brand because your focus is purely on their success. And so I felt like we had a system, at least an idea of a system in place to do it, because that's really kind of what drives us. That's is this good for our franchisees? And if that's the case, then yeah, let's do it. You know, assuming it fits all other criteria, but how to put operations programs in place really has to do with the ability for those programs to drive success at the franchisee level.
Now you guys have, you know, you've had some success. Obviously you've got over 50 locations. You know, one of the things with a lot of the systems that I work with, I know others work with, is, you know, you reach a point, you know, when you're just starting out as a franchisor, you know, you get your first 5, 10, 15, 20. And at a certain point, you need to add to your operational team. You need to add to your marketing team. You need to add to your franchisee support team. With Pigtails and Crew Cuts, at what point did you reach that level where you felt like, okay, you know, the three or four people we have now just isn't gonna be enough, so we need to look at hiring one or two or three more people? The reason I ask is I know it's specific to each business, but it's a really important consideration for franchisors, because one of the biggest complaints that franchisors get from franchisees is that they're not supported well enough. But at the same time, a franchisor can't build up its operational support until they've got enough franchisees to really warrant it.
Yeah, you touched on the great balance as a franchisor, and I think it takes a lot of introspection. You know, it's you're looking constantly at your budget, you're looking constantly at your performance versus your budget. Then you're looking at your franchisee support or your franchisee performance, and you're looking at what you perceive your development growth to be, meaning how many franchisees do you plan on adding, and you make judgment calls based on all of that. You listen for rumblings. You know, if you're getting the rumblings of, boy, I'm just not getting the support I wish I was getting, or I'm not getting the support I used to get, which is even more important, then you've got to start taking a hard look. There can be two things when you hear rumblings. Number one, you have franchisees who are not having the success that they would like, and the easiest person to to blame is the franchisor. Or a second thing could be is that expectations aren't being met, meaning they're expectations of what the franchisor is supposed to do versus the franchisee, there may be a disconnect in what I think a franchisee is supposed to be doing and what they think I'm supposed to be doing. So if you've got open lines of communication, you'll notice all of that and you'll figure that out. But you're right in that those moments of growth have to be timed almost perfectly. And it's, you know, when you feel like you're not supporting or getting close to the point of not supporting, you add people. But you have to add those people with enough time to train. You've got to have lead times because they've got to understand your culture as the franchisor and make sure they're the right people, make sure they're following the right protocols as well. So it's a delicate balance. We're in kind of a growth mode right now. We've got a great team. We've got great validation. Our franchisees are having great success. We're having a lot of internal growth. And as such, we are making a fairly aggressive marketing approach right now to develop more franchises. And as such, we made a conscious decision from a capital investment perspective to invest in the marketing, but also even before then to invest in additional people and the investment to get them trained and to get them indoctrinated and make sure that they're able to provide the appropriate level of support that our franchisees expect. So it's a delicate balance because you can really mess up a year's budget if you have too many people, but you can mess up a lot of years' budget if you don't have enough people and your support wanes and isn't appropriate.
So for those who, you know, aren't familiar with Pigtails and Crew Cuts franchise and haven't been in one, take us through a visual sort of journey. If I'm walking into a Pigtails and Crew Cuts location, what can I expect to see? What does it look like? What does it feel like? That sort of thing in terms of provide a visual.
Yeah, the easiest thing is to go to the website because we got a video that'll take you through it and it's really cool. So what we've talked about to this point is kind of the business aspect of it. But the neat thing about Pigtails and Crew Cuts is it's fun. And it's a 1,200 to 1,500 foot space, typically in a shopping center type environment. And you walk in and you're greeted immediately by a receptionist. You get checked in. You look around you and it is this ridiculously bright place. We've got every wall is a different color, not overwhelmingly so. We tried to keep in mind that the children don't seem to get themselves there. So you still got to have a place that's comfortable for parents.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't want to blow the parents out with noise. And now it is noisy and fun, but you know, we wanted to keep it, semi-tasteful.
Because the parents have to sit there. I mean, the parents
got
to sit
stay.
There.
And if they're getting driven off a cliff, you know, because there's too much going on or too much visual stimuli, then it can be a little overwhelming. But no, it's very nice. It's bright. It's colorful. We've got a little waiting area in the front. And then down one wall, we have the smaller children chairs, which are retro vehicles designed into haircutting chairs. So there might be an airplane or an old jalopy or a fire engine and things like that. Then the other side is more traditional barbering type chairs where if you've got a really young child with a lot of hair, the child can sit in the parent's lap or the child, as they get a little older, they can sit by themselves and they can play video games over there. But there are televisions on each wall, all showing age-appropriate movies. The older children can play video games, and by video games, I'm not talking about, you know, the adult type video games. I'm talking about, you know, fun video games for children and teens. And then at each station, so the child picks where they want to sit, and then the hairstylist grabs them and takes them to that place. And so what we also have, which I think is really nice, is we have what we call a mom's chair at each location. So the mother can be involved. Because when you're dealing with young children, you know, it's not like they're being taken away from their mother and we just go cut their hair the way we want to. The mom wants to be involved. So we've got a little chair for the mom to sit in, or the dad. They can sit in while the process is going on and communicate with the stylist and talk about what they want and all that. And the reverse, the stylist can communicate about how best to cut the child's hair and any other needs that there might be. But so there's all this color and these fun, cool chairs. And then we've got a big train table for the children to play. And then in the back, we've got a party room that serves as an overflow room when we're really crowded, especially on the weekends and, you know, before holidays and at back to school time. And we use that room for parties, but we also use it for overflow for the children and the parents to sit in, and they can color and play games and play with toys that we've got that are all clean and sanitary and all that. But it's a really fun and inviting environment that's comfortable for the children and for the parents.
Well, that sounds really cool. And, you know, it's funny. I was thinking as you were talking about that, you know, there's just something about, you know, the place where you get a haircut as a kid that's just memorable. I mean, I remember the place that I went to, the barbershop that I went to as a kid with my parents, either my mom or my dad, or both sometimes. You know, and I remember, you know, one time sitting there, my dad was next to me, and the barber said, "So, you know, Josh, what kind of haircut you want?" I said, "I want it to look just like my dad, bald on the top and short on the sides." So my parents remind me of that story.
You know, eventually you'll get there like I've gotten, but you don't want to rush into it. You want
trust
to look
me,
as
I'm
good
there
as you
already.
Can.
I'm yeah. there already.
Yeah, but, well, that's all right. As my mother said, if that's the worst thing that happens to you, you'll be okay.
Well, that's right. But I mean, there is just something, there's something special about that, right? I mean, it's just, it's a memory. And the idea obviously behind your franchise is that, you know, you're going to make that an even better memory, I think, for kids.
Well, we are. And, you know, I think back to my son who's now 21, and he had what I call the Samson complex, which he did not. I took him to my barbershop. And this was before pigtails and crew cuts. And I took him to my barbershop, and I think he thought he was being killed. And he screamed like, and this was a big, tough kid. And he screamed like he was, you know, someone was trying to sap his strength. And what we've done at Pigtails and Crew Cuts is we've made a place where those children, it's not comfortable for all children to get their hair cut. It's scary. It's intimidating. And we've tried to make it as enjoyable as we possibly can. And then there's the group of children who have needs, you know, who have sensory issues or, you know, and just certain special needs that go with certain children. And so what we've done is worked with our employees to make it as enjoyable as possible. So, you know, my barbershop, growing up in a small town, did not know how to do all that, but we do. And we do it to an exceptional level. And, you know, I'm hopeful that you're right. Those memories will be better than they could be otherwise.
Well, so I'm curious, in our remaining, you know, few minutes, talk about the ideal franchisees that you guys are looking at. And every franchise system has an ideal candidate. You know, they may look at a multitude of people, but you know, ideal candidate, their background, their skill set. I mean, what works well with the Pigtails and Crew Cuts franchise from a franchisee perspective?
This has probably been the most fascinating thing that I discovered with Pigtails and Crew Cuts. I had an idea in my mind what our ideal franchisee looked like. It was somebody who was going to open multiple units, who, you know, had a business background, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've got people from all across the spectrum. We've got a lot of women who have had children and they're ready to go back to work, but they want the flexibility of not going back and working for the man, you know, who want to be able to have more flexible hours. I laugh and joke and say that, you know, we get a bunch of people with two-year-olds. And I think that's because people, once their children are two, think they're ready to go back to work. We've also got a bunch of people who view this as a great business opportunity, and they might be men, they might be women, but they're going to do it in addition to their existing job and just bring in a management team and, you know, and supervise the managers. The one thing that all of our franchisees have in common is that they're passionate about bringing some joy to children and families. And this is a great way of doing it. And that's what's exciting people. And that's what people who come to us, they all the ones who are having great success and who we, you know, we try to vet them and make sure, but they're just passionate about children. And that's as simple as that. They don't have to have hair cutting skills. To the contrary, I really don't want our franchisees cutting hair. I want them running a business and employing people who cut hair. And so, you know, our focus is on business-minded people who have a passion and a passion for providing goods and services to their community and their community of children.
Well, if you want to learn more about the Pigtails and Crew Cuts franchise, go to pigtailsandcrewcutsfranchise.com. That's pigtailsandcrewcutsfranchise.com. Thank you, Wade, so much for coming on and sharing a little bit and telling your story behind the franchise. I do think it's fascinating. And, you know, I, for one, I love niches. That's how I got into franchising at the start.
Right.
And I love the kids haircut niche, because I, just like you, I've often thought that, you know, that that's a great business model with a market that's going to continue to be there forever. And I do agree with you, making it more fun for kids to go get a haircut and making it enjoyable is a huge part of the equation. And so I wish you nothing but the best of luck in the future.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate you having me. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
You as well.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.